So we're in Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11, all right. And I have a handout. Okay, handout here. So we're going through Moses' writings here. So today we looked at Luke's writings in Sunday school and morning service. Now we're looking at Moses' writings. So our responsibility here is to expound the truth, practice the truth, live the truth. So let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 11. Don't worry if we hear the rattling of pages turn. That's always a blessing. Just don't want to hear any ripping. All right, we're in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence. Altogether. Father, we pray to bless us. We pray. Thank you for the scripture at hand. We pray that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God as we go through these passages for thy glory. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in chapter 11, we see, for instance, Moses is still talking to Pharaoh. Chapter 11, verse 8, for instance. So, this chapter 11 is parenthetical. It really takes us back to chapter 10, when in chapter 10, recall, verse 28, Pharaoh said, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou shalt see my seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face no more. All right, so what chapter 11 is taking us back before the tail end of chapter 10. You follow that? So there's not a contradiction here. Wait a minute, they're talking again, and so on. So chapter 11 is parenthetical. It goes back to prior to verse 29. All right. And I stated that here. So in the outline that you have there, parenthetically, Moses addressed Pharaoh in verse 11:8, with the warning of the 10th plague before Pharaoh cast them out of his presence. Chapter 10. The Lord told Moses that one more plague was coming, emphasizing that Pharaoh would surely thrust out the Jews altogether. So quite often we think in chronological books here, one chapter follows the next chronologically, and we just have a chronology here. Well, that's not the case here, but the way it's been written is that really the details of chapter 11 come in and before the tail end of chapter 10. That's true in the book of Revelation as well. So what we have in the book of Revelation, there is a chronology here, but several of the chapters in Revelation take us back before the finishing of this segment of chronology. Then we move on chronologically to another section, and then some of the chapters take us back before the finishing up of that section of chronology. You follow that? So the book of Revelation is chronological, but there's also some chapters that take us back, and we could use the term, meanwhile, back at the ranch, this was going on. You follow that? So people get confused when they read some of these books here and think it's just a strict chronology, and these words follow these words, and there's no this is not the case at all. So we learn these things. So the Lord is speaking to Pharaoh here in all of this, and he indicates afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. All right, so we got one more plague coming. We've got the 10th plague coming. And so this would be the most terrible of the plagues here. All right, verse 2 and 3. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So here we have something unusual going on. So in the commentary, giving more details to Moses, the Lord told his servant to speak to the Jewish men and women and tell them to borrow. See, so we have that word there, borrow, of his neighbor, that'd be the Egyptian neighbor. So you borrow, you don't ask or steal. Borrow from the Egyptians silver and gold jewels. So we're leaving tonight, and we want some of your gold and silver. Jews are to tell the Egyptians this. We want some of your gold and silver. Lord's promise was fulfilled, as expressed in 3:22. Let's see, let's look back there, 3:22. Where he said, way early. This is after Moses here. Said, not me, I'm not doing this. Remember that? But in 3:22, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. So here's talking about spoiling the Egyptians. Now there's a reason behind all this. So here they're the visitors. The Jews are the visitors, and yet they're to ask for or borrow silver and gold jewels, and the Egyptians will give these to the Jews here. So respected and feared by the Egyptians was Moses, and so threatening was the tenth plague that the Egyptians were willing to pay or bribe Israelites to get out. Please get out. We will help you get out. We will give you silver and gold to get out. We want to bribe you to leave Egypt. Please leave, and we'll give you our silver and gold. Think of that. And so, what a blessing. And then they were to use this on their children and so on. So even the Lord thought about the children, the young people. And so the women and the young people got the benefit of having the silver and gold of the Egyptians. Think of that. And what a blessing. What a blessing in obeying the Lord. So they were leaving, thinking, we'll just take off, and we'll probably have to leave everything behind, and we'll be poor and leave all of our precious things here. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you because you have obeyed me. So I've used this illustration before. There was the month in which me personally, I thought I would receive no salary. So this was the month of December about 16 years ago. And so when my time was up over the former church here and so on, at the end of November, I was told to leave. All right, so I probably won't get a paycheck. I'm unemployed. And so, but we decided we're going to start a church. So we started a church. So by the time December, 16 years ago, came around, I not only got a paycheck from my former church, but this current church gave me the equivalent paycheck. And so I ended up with two paychecks in 1 month. Amen. All I'm saying is I'm not important. But what I am saying is when we obey, the Lord blesses financially. And I had the assumption, I told my wife, you know, we've got some money saved. Maybe we'll make it through December and, you know, whatever the church comes up with, a salary and so on, we have no idea. But by God's grace, we are leaving. And the Lord blessed. All right. So, and he'll do the same for you. So we're not special in any sense other than when we believe the Lord and trust Him, He takes care of us. All right? So, Lord willing, I probably won't ever have another month when I get two paychecks. And really, from one point of view, I hope I don't. So, anyway. But here the Lord blessed them as well. You obey me, Moses and Aaron and the Israelites, and you put up with all this. And when it comes time to leave, I'm going to have the Egyptians bribe you to get out. And that's what happened. So, think of the Egyptian or the Jewish women here. Boy, that's a pretty necklace you Egyptian woman have. Here, let me take it off and give it. It's worth thousands and thousands, but get out of here. So, that's what happened. That's what happened. So, now, next paragraph. The Lord gave favor to the Jews before Egypt. The Lord also honored the reluctant servant Moses. Remember, he's the five excuse man. No, that's me, the five excuse. I've got five outstanding excuses why I'm not going to serve the Lord. And the Lord shut him down. Yes, you are. And you're going to serve me. So, but the five excuse man, the Lord honored him. Think of this, the Lord honored him before the Egyptians as he was very great before all of Pharaoh's servants. So that's what Scripture says here. He was very great in the sight of the Egyptians. Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. So think of that. It's not how we start, it's how we end up. So we start off with a little faith, and the Lord helps us with that little faith, takes us through, and then another challenge, a little greater faith, and so on. And the Lord takes care of us. And so if the Lord comes the day after somebody gets saved, and He will, that person won't have much of an opportunity to grow in the Lord. But we've had that opportunity. We've been saved, and so we can grow in grace in all these areas here and see how the Lord blesses us. And so if you think back to your early days in the Christian life, and you know, I can't do anything. I'm this, I'm that. I'm a born again believer, but there's not much I can do for the Lord. But you be faithful, and the Lord will bless you and bless you. He didn't bless the Lord. He didn't bless Moses because he had five great excuses. Oh, these are great. I've never heard of these excuses before. No, he blessed them because he obeyed in spite of the excuses that he had. And so he became very great. Now, if the Lord would have said, Moses, you obey me and I'll make you very great, that'd been the wrong motivation. But Moses obeyed, and in time the Lord made him great. Great before Pharaoh's servants. I suppose that would include Jannes and Jambres. Remember them? All right. And the people. The Egyptians were impressed with the miracles of Moses. I mean, think of this. After several of the plagues, wait a minute. Moses is calling for these plagues. The plagues happen. Moses intervenes. The plagues stop. There must be something special about Moses. It was really Moses' Lord. But they began to be impressed with him. And also with his courage and power with Pharaoh. I mean, he's going into Pharaoh. I mean, Pharaoh is deity. He's the king of the land. He had the privilege to kill anybody on the spot. And Moses and Aaron goes in and says, let my people go. And they did this time after time after 10, down to 10, after time, down to 10 plagues. And so they saw, here are these men, especially Moses. He goes in and challenges Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, you know, he warns, if I see you again, I'll kill you. He could have killed him the first time, but he didn't. And so here we see the Lord worked in his heart. So Moses was a prepared and powerful man with influence. So that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. He's preparing us. So he prepares us when we're young in the Lord with challenges and so on. We grow. And then he gives us some greater challenges. See, every challenge as it gets greater and greater, he's helping us grow and grow. And so he's preparing us. He's preparing us for the future. And so we don't know how long the future will be for us in this dispensation before the rapture here. But if we, if Lord doesn't come back for 100 years, most of us will have gone through our adult life. But hopefully we've been prepared people for the challenges. They'll be tremendously great in the future. And yet we're struggling with our challenges right now. And yet he helps us and prepares us for the future. And he became prepared and a powerful man. So if we let the Lord prepare us, we can become powerful saints as we minister to others and in our church and so on. So this is Moses. So here we see the life of Moses and what the Lord was doing. In verses 4 and 5, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant as behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. So informing Moses, the Lord declared that he would bring about the tenth plague, and not Moses raising his hand. He said emphatically, I, even I, will go out. Using a military term, as found in Joshua 8:5, for instance, he announced about midnight he would send the destroyer. He would send a destroyer. Now this comes up later on in verse 23 of chapter 12. The destroyer. And will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses. So the destroyer seems to be distinct from the Lord at this point. And so the destroyer might have been the destroying angel, an angel that he used there. We can look there in 2 Samuel 24. So 2 Samuel 24:16, we see in the And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. So he might have sent out an angel, but he's sending out the destroyer here. And so that's the threat that's given here. So the death of the firstborn was the greatest blow to the Egyptians' children and animals and the Pharaoh. For Egypt, the population and animal deities would be significantly reduced. So they had children. Firstborn child would be killed. And this would be true for the animals as well. And so take care of the family, firstborn the family, firstborn of the animals. And the Pharaoh. Now for Egypt, the population and animal deities would be significantly reduced and the firstborn privileges would be modified. So no doubt they also had firstborn privileges. But for Pharaoh, the blow was detrimental for not only society, but for divine kingship. So that's their mentality. Divine kingship. He is the deity manifest in the flesh. He's the king. Supposedly, Pharaoh was the son of Ra, who's the sun god, and his seed would be the next son of Ra. So wait a minute. So this is going to destroy the lineage of divine kingship. So this would be a major blow to the Egyptians. Their firstborn children, whether they're adults or babies, would be destroyed. The animals would be destroyed. the king's firstborn son would be destroyed. This would destroy the lineage. It's the lineage of deity in their mindset. And so this would be highly detrimental to Egypt. All right, and so we can see why the Egyptian women were saying, here, take my jewels and get out of here. Take them all. Right, then 6 through 7. And there was a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like any more. But because of the children of Israel, shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth make a difference between Egyptians and Israel. So the violent emotions of the cries of the millions of Egyptians. Now think of this, the parents are crying, screaming. My son, my firstborn son or daughter is dead. and it would be the greatest in the history of Israel. When the plague happened at midnight, both firstborn adults and babies died. We see this later on, chapter 12. Nevertheless, as the Israelites obeyed the instructions of Moses, great tranquility permeated Goshen. So here, Goshen there is up there to towards the north there in the delta. And then we have the rest of Egypt here. And so we have, although it's nighttime, there's crying and screaming of animals, but also humans crying and screaming throughout all Egypt. But dogs aren't even barking in Goshen. It's quiet night. It's silent night. Quiet night. All right. So to the extent that not even a dog barked, even the firstborn of dogs and animals did not cry for deaths. No barking that night. So the theological object lesson was to Pharaoh, his servants, and his people, that Jehovah made put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. The magnitude of the nature of and the national selection of Jehovah was not known to the extent that the 10 plagues manifested, either to the Jews or Egyptians. So remember back there in chapter 6, verse 3, Scripture says, "And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." So the idea not known fully. Now we're finding out fully who Jehovah is here. And so this is what really the rest of Exodus is about after 6:3. Find out fully who he is. So this dramatic demonstration was for the hardening of all hearts, including Moses. So was Moses' heart hardened in faith? It was. Aaron, Israel. The Jews. What do you think about the Jews when they left? What do you think about the Jewish women who thought, wait a minute, they're giving me all their jewels, and the Jewish children who are going to be given the clothing and the jewels and so on. You think their hearts were hardened in faith? Sure. And the Egyptians, we have a mixed multitude going. Some of them say, hey, we want to go with you. And even the reader, that's us. So that's us. Remember, this is not just an interesting story that we tell children, and this has no relevance to us. We need to tell children, nothing wrong with that, but we don't want to reduce it to just a child's story. You know, it's an adult story. And check your heart after you go through Exodus. Even the reader. And then finally in 8 through 10, "And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out and all the people that follow thee, and afterward I will go out. And he went from out of Pharaoh in great anger." So here's where we see, we go back to chapter 10. And remember, there in verse 28, Pharaoh says, "Get thee from me, and take heed to thyself, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. So he threatens them. So, and in 29, Moses said, I will see thy face again no more. But then he leaves in great anger because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. So keep in mind here that verse 8 is connected with 10:29. All right. Then verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto thee, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all the wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. All right, now, you have to read on chapter 12 to find out. Oh, he changed his mind. Oh, he changed his mind. He did let them go out. But at this point, he hadn't let them go out. So there's no contradiction here. He's going to harden his heart until he finds out, wait a minute, my firstborn is killed. All right, I give up. Get out of here. All right, then, so commentary, Moses continues to speak to Pharaoh, revealing that these thy servants, so he's talking about Pharaoh's servants, would show great respect and reverence to Moses and not to Pharaoh. I mean, after all, they're looking to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, we've now gone through 10 of these plagues, and where are our deities? Remember, you're chief over all of our deities, and you're a lousy king. You know, so, but who's this Moses? Reverence to Moses, not to Pharaoh. Jehovah revealed that the Egyptians would say to Moses with a strong imperative, get thee out. They wanted Moses and the Israelites to leave, and he promised to leave. He left the presence of Pharaoh with great anger. The scenario of the conversation was a statement of the ninth plague, that's chapter 10, then the tenth plague, chapter 11. Then Pharaoh threatened Moses, 10:28, and Moses revealed that he would not see Pharaoh again. So there I'm trying to put together the two chapters there. The Lord promised Pharaoh would harden his heart, and he did, until he let them go. So if you look there in chapter 12, 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night, this Pharaoh, and said, rise up and get you forth from among the people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said, and take your flocks. So he finally surrenders to this. All right. So he wasn't going to let them go. Now he lets them go, and everybody there is glad the Jews are gone. Glad they are gone. And so the Lord bless this, and bless the testimony of Moses. So remember, Moses wrote all of this. So Moses had to write the great victory here, but he also had to write earlier on in chapter 3 his five excuses as well. And so later on we find out Moses was the meekest man that ever lived, because he had to write this, go through this. And yeah, there I was a proud Jew, and I wasn't going to serve the Lord, and he reduced me down, and I saw his great blessings as I helped lead the several million Jews out of Egypt. This would have been a humbling experience there, and no doubt he was the meekest man that ever lived, because he went through this. So the Lord was preparing him, preparing his heart, and taking the pride out of his heart, and causing him to be meek. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us, take the pride out of our hearts and help us through the test that he gives us. Our Father, we pray that you help us to learn the lesson here. We pray that you bless our time now as we participate in the Lord's Supper, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.